Good morning. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. It's an awesome thing to do. I can't wait to do that for a career. It's going to be great. 16 days and something hours. I do have a countdown on my phone. So again, Case, wanted a reminder, David LaFour, been a seminarian here for a while. I usually go to late service, though. Some of you may be looking at me wondering who this person is. So that's who I am. And Pastor Mark approached me a month ago asking if I would preach the week after Easter. And I asked him, okay, so what do you want me to preach on? And he said the story of Doubting Thomas. And to be honest, I wasn't really too excited to be working with this particular text. The story of Doubting Thomas, ever since I was just a little kid, has always made me uncomfortable. It's because it strikes right at the heart of belief, of faith, and of doubt. You know, when Jesus responds to Thomas and says, "Have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have believed and yet have not yet seen." I feel like I could see Jesus turning around from Thomas and looking right at me. Blessed are those who believe even though they haven't seen. It's always made me squirm uncomfortably in my seat, and it still does, I notice, as I started reading this passage and writing this sermon. Why? Well, the saying goes that seeing is believing. Or, well, that's what a lot of people will tell you. And it's often hard, to be honest, it's often hard to believe without first seeing something. For example, if you tell me some incredible story, I'm going to want proof to back it up. And the best proof is seeing it. So if you tell me that you have trained your dog to open the fridge and fetch drinks for you and bring them to your living room on demand, you better be prepared to invite me over to your home, because I want to experience this. Or if you've climbed Mount Everest, I'm going to ask you to see the photos. Wouldn't you want to see the photos of a friend who's climbed Mount Everest? Might be interesting. Or if you say that you saw Bigfoot on your last camping trip, I'm going to want to see the video. Actually, on second thought, I love camping in the woods, and seeing that video may scare me from doing that ever again. So maybe not. But frankly, we live in an age of skepticism, and that is somewhat justified. April Fool's Day is actually a good example of this, and if you didn't catch it, it actually fell last week on Easter, so it's fresh in my mind. And I looked up some of the most famous April Fool's Day jokes of all time, and I just wanted to share three of them with you. In 1978, an Australian businessman for months advertised that he was going to bring an iceberg to Sydney so he could sell the ice to various people. And on April Fool's Day, an iceberg did show up in Sydney Harbor, only for the rain to reveal that it was actually a bunch of fire foam and plastic. He didn't sell any ice from that. In 1992, NPR announced that President Richard Nixon was going to go for re-election, claiming that he did nothing wrong and that he was going to win. Only after many called with visceral outrage did NPR eventually announce it as a prank. But my personal favorite, in 1996, Taco Bell took out full-page ads in several newspapers across the country claiming that they had purchased the Liberty Bell and were renaming it the Taco Liberty Bell. This got as far as the White House press secretary. They asked him if this was true, and in a moment of comedic genius, he said yes, and that the Lincoln Memorial was also going to be renamed the Ford Lincoln Mercury Memorial. Luckily, neither of those things happened. It was April Fool's. And while these may be funny, we know that this is also something to take seriously. Often people want to take advantage of us. They want to take advantage of our belief that we want to give others. I mean, how many days go by where we don't hear another news story about another scam, about another leak of information, about another fake news story, but the news is reporting on it? So now you don't know what is real. Is it fake? Is it real? I don't know anymore. Belief is hard, and it's hard to give. It makes you vulnerable. So when I hear the line, "Blessed are those who believe without seeing," I squirm just a little bit. Jesus is talking about the most important and fantastic event in history. Blessed are those who believe without seeing in my resurrection. It's certainly not something that I have seen. And many people in our world have claimed that it can't be believed. It's almost an impossible sounding story. And yet Jesus expects that we will believe. And the good news is, though, that we are not alone in this struggle of belief and doubt. All things in Scripture are better with context. And I think often the story of Doubting Thomas is left without its most important context, which is a shame. Because if we go on just a few lines, as we actually did in our reading this morning, if we go beyond the last line of the Doubting Thomas story into the very end of John 20, you get this awesome line that we just actually sang this morning ourselves. "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not shared in this book. But these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." John, the beloved disciple of Jesus Christ, one of his best friends, one of the most faithful followers, knew all too well the struggle of doubt and the importance of faith and belief. And while he was part of a unique few who had the chance to see, hear, walk with, eat with Jesus, he knew that this message had to go far beyond that small group of people. The message of Christ is for all nations and all times, not just for those who happen to be walking around Galilee and Jerusalem around 30 AD. And so John, inspired by the Spirit of God, did something about it. He wrote down the words and the stories of the man that he was so close to, so that we, you and I, could be close to him as well. He tells about things which are incredible, miracles and sermons and intense sacrifice and redemption, so that we could also be witnesses to the incredible life and work of Jesus, and so that we could believe that Jesus is our Savior. And yes, we can be faithful, believing witnesses even without seeing. In fact, seeing is not believing. That phrase is completely wrong. Because Paul says that faith comes through hearing. And John shows us this in the account of the resurrection. Actually, in John 20, just before, and again, like I said, all things are better with context, the story of Doubting Thomas being one of them. Just before Doubting Thomas, we have the story of Jesus' resurrection. And focusing on Mary, when Mary is weeping outside of the tomb, it is not her eyes in what she sees that turns her grief into joy. She sees Jesus, but she thinks him to be a gardener. She even asks Jesus where the body is hidden. She sees him, and yet she doesn't believe in the risen Christ. And she saw the empty tomb, and she saw the angel sitting there, but she still doesn't believe. What changes that? Well, her belief and joy wash over her when she hears Jesus say her name. Mary believed because she heard, not because she saw. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. And so John wrote his gospel, his account of Jesus, so that we could hear the Word of God, believe in Jesus, and have eternal life. And that's no small task. In order for these scriptures to reach us 2,000 years, an ocean and a half a continent away, a lot of effort and sacrifice was made. John wrote these words down and he gave it to the church, and people copied it and spread it. Many heard it and they believed it, but many heard it as well and they hated God and they hated the church. When the church faced its first persecutions at the hand of Roman soldiers, it wasn't just the people, the Christians, who were hunted down. Roman authorities knew that our scriptures were dangerous to the status quo because they changed people. They caused them to believe in something. So they searched for them and they banned them. Pastors and lay people alike were captured and threatened under torture to turn the scriptures in so that the church would suffer and die. The Romans knew the importance of hearing. And many did give up their scrolls and books, but for every piece of scripture that was burned, more and more were being made and spread across the world. For 2,000 years, these words from John have been handed down, a gift from the Christians before us, to us, and a gift that we will hand on to our children and their children and all the Christians for the ages to come after us until Jesus returns. And to this day, and still in some areas of the world, these words, the words of John and the rest of the scriptures of the church, have to be smuggled. They have to be hidden away. But thanks be to God, we can read them, preach them, and hear them today, this Sunday morning, and every other time that we gather together as a church. We hear, and so we believe. And by believing, we have eternal life that Jesus has won for us. On account of our faith, God has forgiven us. He has made us new, made us his children. Because of our belief in the resurrected Jesus, we ourselves will be resurrected. But perhaps you're still squirming in your seat as you hear this. I know I still was as I was writing this part. Perhaps at this moment, you feel that your belief really isn't that strong. Perhaps you feel like it's barely there at all. Or maybe you feel great this morning. I don't know where you are. Maybe your faith feels like it's burning inside of you, and your belief feels like this firm, solid foundation, unshakable. Well, whatever condition your heart and your faith is in right now, I want to say this. Don't worry. You're not alone. C.S. Lewis talks about our lives of faith as being a series of mountaintops and valleys. The mountains being moments of success, of sureness, of clarity, and they're great. But do these mountains ever last forever? You just get to ride out your whole life with that great feeling. And then the valleys are the moments of doubt and of struggle. But I want to say this, they're hard, but importantly, just like the mountains, the valleys don't last forever either. C.S. Lewis mentions that we often think that the good moments of our life will be in them, and we're like, yeah, but this won't last forever. He's like, why don't we say that about the bad moments when we are in those as well? We always think those will last forever, but they don't. They pass as well. There isn't a faithful Christian on this planet who hasn't had their moments of positive sureness and moments of doubt and questioning. Not a one. We can still be confident even when our faith seems to waver. And that's because it's not about how we feel about our faith and our belief that matters. There's this one passage in Scripture I find myself turning to so often because it demonstrates this fact, and I want to go there this morning. It's from Mark chapter 9. A man brings forth his son, who is possessed by a spirit who has robbed him of his speech. Ever since this boy was a little child, the spirit would temporarily take control of him, throw him to the ground, make his teeth gnash, and make him foam at the mouth. And Jesus' disciples tried to help, but they're not successful. And now the man goes to Jesus and he pleads, "If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And Jesus immediately latches on to the word "if." If you can, anything is possible for the one who believes. In hearing these words, I imagine that the father's stomach must have dropped. Wasn't it yours? Here is the one person who could probably help your child, and he's telling you, if you believe, anything is possible, including healing your son. I don't know if I could trust myself to muster up enough feeling of belief in that moment that would be strong enough or sure enough that I could positively say to Jesus, yes, I believe. What do you even do? And so the father immediately exclaims, I believe. Help my unbelief. Jesus then in response rebukes the spirit, and the spirit flees. And the boy became like a corpse, and many thought he was dead, but Jesus took him by the hand and brought him to life. The exclamation from the father sticks in my mind. This is obviously a man who struggled with belief and who struggled with doubt, as any of us do. And so he throws that struggle to Christ. Christ isn't just a healer. He is the source and the foundation of our faith. I can say that I have felt like that father a few times. You know, I believe, but I have some unbelief. And Jesus, I'm going to need you to take that. What is important, though, is not how strong I feel or you feel about your faith. But instead, it's the saving power and it's the object of that faith. Jesus Christ. Faith is simply clinging to our Savior and trusting in his words. And when we struggle with doubt and when we struggle with belief, we can give that to him as well. Jesus faithfully keeps true to us, even when our faith is floundering. Jesus can help our unbelief. In fact, he expects to do that. It's part of what he came for. It's part of what he lived for, died for, and rose for. He takes our struggling, floundering belief, and he gives to us his own perfect, believing, and faithful self. And so today we can take comfort in these words. They don't have to make you squirm. Blessed are those who believe, though they have not seen. You and I, we are the blessed ones. We believe even though we haven't seen. And we have received this belief through hearing God's word. And so, therefore, we are blessed this morning as we hear from our scriptures, as we hear from our pastors every morning. We are blessed to hear the words of God on our nightstands as we open up our Bible before we go to bed or any time, or even if we just hear the words coming through the radio in a worship song. We are blessed from those. We are blessed with our faith. It's a gift from God, given to us by that great cloud of witnesses that is called the church, passed down through thousands of years so that we can have it this morning and so that we could be blessed, that we are given the gift of belief and that we can have eternal life. Amen. And so now we can say with confidence that we believe because he is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.